show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And hey, we may be closing in on the month of February, but it is never too early to talk some college football. We're going to zero in on the Big 12 South and those Texas A&M Aggies. You know, it's hard to believe spring practice. It's going to be here before you know it. And so what better person to line it up with on the gridiron than the all-time winningest coach at Texas A&M, R.C. Slocum. He may be retired, but Coach, what a pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thanks, Alyssa. It's good to be with you, and you're absolutely right about the spring. We've got a beautiful spring day in College Station, and I saw some of the coaches, and they're already talking about spring training. And so it is an exciting time of the year. Some changes going on at A&M with the football teams. I think there's a lot of anticipation.
I think anticipation is the key word. Well, let's talk about this. You know, the 2009 season, here it is. It's now in the books for the Aggies. It was a little bit of a roller coaster ride, some bumps along the ways. But your thoughts on this past season and the progression that is being made right there in College Station?
I think if you look at our team last year, we made tremendous improvement. Offensively, we went from last to first in the league in 1 year's time. And Gerard Johnson, the quarterback, had a great year. Our receivers had a great year. We got some good young running backs. So really made progress there. And now the defensive side of the ball is getting a lot of attention. And that's an area that we need to improve. And if we can make half as much improvement this year as we did last year on offense, and we'll be a competitive team. We were, I think, looking at it as I did, I saw definite improvement. I think, without a doubt, we're headed in a good direction, and I'm excited about seeing what happens with this team this spring.
You talked about offensively. It's interesting, you know, Mike Sherman, he infused youth into the lineup in an attempt to upgrade the team with speed. We can look forward to more of the same?
He's brought in some great young players. I think that's one of the things that when it gets down to it, most coaches would say, if not all coaches, that the players have more to do with it than anyone. And Mike has done a great job of going out and bringing in some talented players and then getting them on the field and getting them in the playing position. And I think that we need to do that defensively as well. And then we start getting some guys on defense that have the athletic ability of Gerard Johnson on offense or Jeff Fuller on offense, then we'll start making more plays on defense.
Well, National Signing Day, of course, it was earlier this month. Can you kind of give us some insight on some of the recent signees? I know that Coach Sherman, he signed 23 newcomers.
He signed 23 guys, and the way the recruiting is nowadays, they end up, in most cases, have these guys committed quite some time before the signing day. They're already working on next year's class and even the year after that in some cases. So you bring these guys in, and the reality, you go out, every school goes and signs people that they feel can help their teams. The reality is that you won't know for a year or two, and maybe even longer, about some of these guys. And I tell people all the time, you know, there's such a to-do made over the signing date. You know, there's such an interest from the fans, and they follow this. But if you look at the NFL, who looks at players 4 and 5 years after the colleges have them, you know, after they get them, and from time to time, it's amazing how many first-round draft choices end up not making the team. I heard a stat this past year that of the quarterbacks who have been drafted in the first round over the last 30 years, somebody went back and researched that, and there has been less than 50% success ratio of those guys that were the first-round pick at quarterback. And you'd think the quarterback position would be one of the easier ones to project, you know. But so when you're dealing with humans, as you are with these now recruiting 16, 17-year-old kids, some of them come in and really develop, and then unfortunately they don't all do that. So I've always been one. Let's get them here and go to work and see how they develop. Then we'll talk about a year or two from now how good the recruiting class really was.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have Jason Peter on our show every week, a three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. He talks about Tom Osborne, you know, and of course he was the head coach there. And so many times, you know, their walk-on program, these were some of the guys that have been some of the biggest and most successful stories.
It's just so hard with 16, 17-year-old kids to say, now, which one of these guys, you see them in a setting at their hometowns where they've got mom and dad there and they're in that setting. Now, you take them away from there and bring them to a college campus, and there's just so many variables. Some kids grow early. Some don't mature physically. You know, when you look at them when they're 17, that's about as big as they get sometimes. And then some of them really grow, and so you don't know which ones, and Tom did a great job up there of taking guys in and just saying, let's bring them to Nebraska as walk-ons and give them time to get in the weight room, see who can do the work academically, who has the discipline to go to the weight rooms and develop and work at becoming a football player and can take the coaching. And then they had some great players over the years that ended up playing for them and helping them be a great football program.
You know, it's interesting, R.C., you had mentioned 16, 17-year-olds. There's also that element of unpredictability when you lead up to signing day. You guys just recently experienced that. You guys were rolling, trucking right along when Corey Nelson, a local guy here from Dallas, he ended up switching his decision and going to Oklahoma, wide receiver. Jarrett Fobbs, I believe, of Shreveport, Louisiana, he made a late switch to LSU. How frustrating is that as a coach when you've spent so much time, effort, energy, and have a vested interest in these athletes?
I think it's always really disappointing when that happens, but coaches, you know, it happens for you that way too. So, you know, when it happens against you, young man decides not to come to your place, you're really disappointed. But we've all been through situations where you're only the receiving end of those ends. And you realize that I'm surprised. I think it's really a compliment to the kids and their families and the high school coaches that they handle it as well as they do. With all the publicity, with all the pressure, with all the internet speculation, and these kids go through, they get professional men who do this for a living trying to pull them in every direction you can pull them. And it's not, to me, not surprising that some of them end up just saying, hey, I want to get it over with, and I'm going to do this or do that, or I said I was going to do this, but I'm going to change my mind. And so I never have faulted kids. Coaches try to, you know, really screw that thing down, so you gave us your word and all that. But when you really consider what all pressure has applied to these young men, I'm not surprised that some of them waver at the end. And I think you just, you know, I think I heard Mike Sherman on the signing day say, hey, let's don't talk about the guys that didn't come. Let's talk about the guys that are coming.
Of course, R.C., you were the head football coach at Texas A&M for 14 years, and you stepped away for a while. But, I mean, how much has recruiting, how much has it even changed since you've stepped out of the spotlight?
I think the biggest thing is the calendar has just continued to move up where kids, the early recruiting, when I left A&M in December 2002, I had 18 commitments at that time. And intentionally had some very good players that we were still recruiting on that we had time to bring in the fold. Since that time now, it's moved up even a little more where it's not unusual for a school to, by December, to have all their scholarships already committed and to be working on the next class for the next year. So it's just it's an early process. One of the things that we've talked about in college football, we've not done yet, but is a early signing date. Because of the reality of the way this is all working now, you would save a lot of money and take a lot of pressure off the kids if you'd allow a guy at some point, and I don't know exactly what the ideal date is, but at some point to say, you've decided what you want to do, go ahead and let the young man sign an early signing date and just get the air cleared so he can go on about his business, and the school can without worrying about those last-minute defections when you've made plans. In some cases, for months, you said, we've got this position taken care of, and we're turning down other guys and telling them we're full at a position, and all of a sudden, at the last minute, a guy backs out. When if you had allowed that person at an earlier date to sign, you would put some more sensibility into the process, I think.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And you can email us at info, I-N-F-O, at eradiosports.com. This very special interview will be at our e-podcast page. We want to make sure that you guys check it out. You know, R.C. Slocum, obviously the focal point and main objective is, kind of you alluded to earlier, is going to be defensively at spring practice. They're going to be installing a new 3-4 scheme. Talk to us a little bit about as far as this new defensive coordinator. I mean, a lot of excitement and anticipation into him coming on campus.
I'm really excited about it. After the season, Mike Sherman made the decision to go back to the 3-4, which we ran successfully here from 1982 to 2002. That whole time, we were a 3-4 defense and had a lot of success with it and had some great players that played in that. So I think there are a lot of Aggies excited about going back to that scheme. There was a coach at Air Force who had really done a great job in a wide-open league and most recently played against the University of Houston in the bowl game up in Fort Worth and shut their offense, which was one of the best offenses in college football last year, really held them down. And so Tim DeRuiter has come to A&M. Mike hired him as the defensive coordinator. And he brings, a great football background with him. He's a very experienced guy. He's 47 years old and got a lot of experience. And I think everybody around here is excited about him being here and getting back to a more aggressive style defense. One of the guys he's bringing with him is Dat Nguyen, who people up in the Dallas area will recognize. Dat was a young man, a Vietnamese background that played high school football at Fulton High School down in Rockport, came here for us, and he started 51 straight games at A&M, which is more than anybody in history, and then went on and won the Lombardi Award his senior year, played for the Cowboys for either 6 or 7 seasons, and for the last 2 or 3 years has been an assistant defensive coach with the Cowboys.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, because he was an undersized player. He was only 5'10 when he played for you, right?
Well, he's about 5'10 and a half if you stretch him, you know. And he played for us and just played very smart player and highly motivated guy. Just was tremendous player for us. And at some point during the pro evaluation process, some guys came through and indicated they thought he was too small or what. I said, well, Dave, you know, if you think he's too small to play, don't take him, because wherever he goes, he'll play, you know. And I think the Cowboys very wisely, I applaud them for looking at the tapes and just saying, you know, he makes every play, and he's doing it against some of the better teams in college football. So he went up there, and I think they were very proud that they had him on their team. And he got hurt there toward the end, and I think that shorten his career, but he had a good career.
R.C. Slocum is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and I want you to share the story about Dat Nguyen, because he has an amazing story on how he came to the United States.
Well, Dat's family lived in Vietnam, and just before the fall of Saigon, they went out, got on a refugee boat. His mother was actually pregnant with Dat, and they rowed the boat over. And they were initially sent to a refugee camp at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and that's where Dat was born. And then the family eventually relocated to the coast of Texas down at Rockport, and they were fishermen by trade. And so they started fishing down there, and Dat moved in. And you can imagine the adjustment from a young man that had a very sharp Vietnamese accent. Being on the coast of Texas and growing up down there, and I told him a week or so ago, I guess, when he took the job, I reminded him that day I came down to school and got him out of class to come up to the principal's office and talk to him about going to A&M and playing football, and just how far he's come from that point. I went back 2 or 3 years ago. The Rockport A&M Club asked me to speak down there, and so I drove down, and as I was driving into Rockport, there was a huge billboard outside of town that says Rockport, the home of Dat Wynn, and had his picture up there.
Outstanding.
And I called and said, man, that is really fun for a coach, you know, to see a guy. When I went in there, he was so bashful and shy and everything, and to see him go on and have the success that he had and make All-American and win the Lombardi and then go play for the Dallas Cowboys here in Texas, you know, and it's just he's a neat young man, and it's a great story, I think, of some of the things that athletics has done for so many young men. It's given them a chance, an opportunity to achieve, and it's been a way that some of them may not have gotten the opportunity if it were not for athletics.
Talk about living a dream, no doubt about it. R.C. Slocum is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to be remiss. We got to make sure that we mention our premier corporate sponsor. That is our friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. You can check out their website at ours at eradiosports.com. R.C., we've only got so much time, but talk to us a little bit about as far as your returning experience in terms of your quarterback, Adrar Johnson. Obviously, he's very versatile. He's got experience, and that's certainly what you guys are going to need offensively.
Well, the first thing, Jerrod Johnson is a quality young man. His dad, Larry, played for us here back in the late 70s and then went down to Houston and was in coaching for a while and then into school administration. Unfortunately, his dad passed away a couple of years ago, but was really a classy guy. And Jerrod, I think, got some great training from his family, and he's really, really a neat young man. But along with it, he's a very gifted athlete, and I think of the quarterbacks I saw last year, he performed on occasion about as well as anyone I saw in college football. He's probably 6'5", and got a strong arm, and is an excellent runner. And like I say, and on top of all that, he's got very good intelligence and great character. So he will be the guy that A&M builds our offense around. I don't think there will be a better quarterback in the Big 12 Conference next year than Jerrod Johnson.
Who are we looking at in terms of the backup? You know, we just kind of shudder a little bit when I think about, you know, that first game for the Oklahoma Sooners and Sam Bradford going down, you know, Colt McCoy, the national championship game. I mean, anything can happen, and you do want to be prepared for any situation. What are we looking at in terms of backup?
That worries every coach. We've had a guy here for a couple of years that they work in the spring. His name is Ryan Tannehill. And he's an excellent quarterback, a really good quarterback. But he's also a really good receiver. So, you know, the 2 years ago, it was obvious that Jerrod Johnson was going to be the starting quarterback. And Ryan Tannehill was such a good player that you hated for him to be just sitting on the sidelines. So they worked out a deal where so long as he was the backup quarterback, he would get some work at quarterback, but also would work at receiver. So that's been the case for 2 years now, which I think the next best quarterback on our team is as a starting wide receiver. So I don't know. I guess that'll be that way. I know we signed a couple of quarterbacks. I'm not sure. Spring training, maybe some of that will be worked out.
R.C. Slocum breaking it all down for us, all the X's and O's. I got to ask you, R.C., I mean, obviously you're very much still plugged in with what's going on there at Texas A&M. I mean, do you miss coaching? I mean, did Bill Snyder, did he perhaps maybe inspire you to want to get back out there and work those sidelines?
I miss it all the time.
Okay.
I miss being with the kids and miss being with the coaches. That's the fun part of doing it. But you know, I'm here. It's not a day that goes by that I don't hear from one of my former players here, and so I'm, you know, life's good. I'm not. And when I say I miss it, I'm not some miserable person that's sitting around with my head in my hands all day. I'm enjoying life. I've got some horses that I coach. You know, if they don't do what I want them to do, I'll make them run some more laps. You know, so I'm getting some coaching done, but. Phil, I've been very blessed, very fortunate, and I'm thankful for all the good things that's come my way, and I've got great friends in coaching that I talk to every day, so I still get a little taste of it.
Well, I was going to say, Diamond, do you have a lot of folks that perhaps come to you and present opportunities to you? I mean, I heard a little rumor that perhaps maybe even in that Houston position, serving as a defensive coordinator, but you passed that up.
I've had numerous opportunities to head coaching jobs and assistants, and I've had some NFL opportunities. And through all of that, I've just elected. I've got 38 years now invested at Texas A&M. I actually coached 30 seasons here, so I've got pretty deep roots here in this part of Texas. I'm very fond of the state of Texas to start with, and particularly fond of this part of Texas and the friends here. And so I've been able, I'm not going to say I won't ever coach again, but I'm saying right now that I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about some of the experiences and some of the people that I was so fortunate to be involved with in the game of football. I feel very, very fortunate to have been able to do some of the things that I got to do.
R.C. Slocum, the all-time winningest coach at Texas A&M, 14 years as the head coach, won 4 conference championships. We can't forget in the Big 12 Conference that title in 1998. And as we get ready, Coach, to wrap up today's interview, just your thoughts on the Big 12 Conference, what we can look forward to next year. Obviously, I'm very excited that Turner Gill is going to be at the University of Kansas, a wonderful guy.
Turner's a great guy. I saw him at our convention. I'm president of the American Football Coaches Foundation, and it's a support foundation for the American Football Coaches Association, which Grant Taft is our executive director. And so I still go to the convention and see all the guys, and I saw Turner there and got a chance to congratulate him on his appointment. He'll do a great job there. I think it's good for the league that last year Nebraska made great strides in coming back and being a legitimate big-time football program and add some credibility to the North. And this league has really been fun to see it develop, and what a quality league it is, not only in football but in the other sports as well. It's very, very competitive, and for those of us that were involved in the right from the start, it's really fun to see how much it's developed. I went to the basketball game and watched A&M and Kansas play, and you know, had a huge crowd at A&M and great ball game. Kansas, you know, won the game at the end, but it was a great college basketball game. You know, you got that every night somewhere in this league. You got a big basketball game, or you got big football games on the weekend, and it's a great conference, and I think we're just getting started.
Well, the Big 12 has certainly come a long way. I tell you, R.C., I remember when it was formed in, was it 96?
It was.
Seems like it was yesterday. Well, listen, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll definitely catch up with you after spring practice and look forward to hearing the latest about your Aggies. We're going to step aside. Jason Peter will be with us here in just a moment.